Amen. Good singing today. If you would turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want to just remind us what we've been trying to accomplish in the last 10 weeks or so. And we have a couple more left as we've been studying about the spiritual disciplines. 1 Timothy 4:7 says, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Now, those verses were not on your screen. That's why I asked you to turn to it. This is the goal that we're pursuing in the last number of weeks, is training ourselves for godliness. Some translations say, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. And so that's why we're looking at these spiritual disciplines. Today I want to talk about journaling. More than almost any other discipline, journaling has sort of a fascinating appeal to nearly all who hear about it. Although the practice of journaling is not commanded in Scripture, I think we can see it modeled. And I hope you'll be able to see that today. But also, if you look through the annals of church history, you see that God has blessed the use of journaling, writing things down, writing in a diary from the very earliest of times. So as we begin following along in your outline this morning, we again want to just explain what journaling is. So an explanation of journaling. It probably doesn't need much explanation, but in case you're not sure what I'm talking about, the word journal is synonymous with what many people would refer to as a diary. It's a book in which a person writes down various things. As a Christian, your journal is a place for you to record the works of God in your life, the things that He has done, is doing, the things for you to write down, the ways of God in your life. Your journal can include an account of daily events, a diary of personal relationships, a notebook of insights into Scriptures, and a list of prayer requests. It's where maybe you write down spontaneous devotional thoughts. Or maybe even if you are so inclined to lengthy theological thinking, a journal is a place where you can write down the things that you are studying, the things that you are meditating on, the things that you are thinking about. A journal is one of the best places for charting your own progress in the other spiritual disciplines, and for you to hold yourself accountable to the goals that you have set for your life spiritually. So journaling is simply that idea of writing things down. It's been blessed, as I said earlier, by God over the years in the lives of many people. So for some people, just like I talked about last week with silence and solitude, for some people, journaling might come easy and might come naturally. For others, it might be a real challenge. And there, we'll get into the end, at the end of the message, a little bit about the ways of journaling that maybe can help you some. As I was preparing for this message, I was able to look back through some of my journals as I have them on the shelf in my office. And when I first started journaling, I used to just use a spiral notebook, 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, lined paper. And I know a lot of people that still just do that, simply writing things down in a spiral notebook that you can keep. I've found these kind of things at bookstores or Christian stores. And the reason I like these basic things is so that they fit with about the same size as my Bible. So if I'm traveling or if I'm going somewhere or going to go read somewhere else, I can carry this and my Bible, and they usually go hand in hand very easily. I also like the attractive covers because it just motivates me for some strange reason to want to write more in something that looks nice. But if you want to write down wherever you want to write down, that's fine. The journaling that I started when I was 16 is something that impacted my life in a real dramatic way, because as I was learning the Bible really for the first time, I was able to write down the things that God was teaching me. And then as I went on through the weeks and the months, I could look back at things that I had written down previously and be reminded because I so easily forget. You know, one day I can read something and God will teach me something that seems to be really insightful, or I'll have what I think for me is a stroke of genius about some insight in Scripture. And if I don't write that down, it'll be gone in a moment of time. So being able to look back on some of those things, and even this week as I look back on some of my journals, a lot of times I see that I just wrote down verses that impacted me for whatever reason that I was reading that day. But also there are a lot of places where I wrote down some sort of a prayer in response to those verses that impacted me that day. And those brought insight into what was going on in my life. And then there are some things that I wrote specific prayer requests for various people or events. Being able to look back on those things is something that inspires me, reminds me of what God has done in my life over the years. So that is why I see a lot of value in journaling, and I want to encourage us today to pursue it. So let's look at letter B, the value of journaling. The value in journaling. And there are a lot of different values, but there are eight that I want to share with you this morning. Number one is to help us in self-understanding and evaluation. Somebody has said, I should probably know who said this, but an unexamined life is not worth living. I heard somewhere and wrote that down. An unexamined life is not worth living. So journaling can help us to evaluate our lives. Romans 12:3 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. We need to evaluate our lives and not think of ourselves more highly than we should, but be able to look back and evaluate where we are, examine our own lives. Number two, a journal, and I think one of the best things, at least for me personally, a journal is a help in meditation. A journal helps in meditation. Joshua 1:8, very well-known verse. We've talked about it before. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, just like we sung about a moment ago. So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success. For me, being able to write down things that I want to meditate on helps me. If I write down a particular verse that impacts me that morning, then I take my journal with me the rest of the day. Or sometimes I'll print it up on a piece of paper and I'll carry it around with me throughout the day. And as I look back on it, I'm able to think about it more than just that one time when I sat down and read it in the morning. But it's able to travel with me all day long as I look back over it and think about it again and again. That's meditation, is just the idea of chewing on something over and over and over and letting it really dig down deep into your heart. And so as I write things down, it helps me to meditate on His Word. When I record in a journal my meditations on a particular verse or passage of Scripture, I can hear more closely what I was talking about last week, that still small voice of God in the silence. And sometimes, as I said, God shouts. Sometimes He speaks through His Word silently. And as I spend time writing it down and looking back over it, I can hear His voice more clearly. Number three, journaling is a help in expressing our thoughts and feelings to the Lord. Expressing our thoughts and our feelings to the Lord. Psalm 62:8 says, trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. I have to admit there's something maybe about my personality that makes me to sometimes be less emotional, I guess, than maybe others might be. I guess maybe because I'm not Italian, I don't know. I don't have a tendency to get all emotional and excited one way or the other usually. But the psalmist would instruct us and would show us by example that there's great value in pursuing a passionate relationship with the Lord. And here he says to pour out your heart before the Lord. And for me, sometimes my thoughts get so scattered, it's easier for me to write that down. Or not necessarily easier, but it's more effective for me to write down the things that I'm feeling, to write down the things that I'm thinking about the Lord and my relationship with Him. I think I'm more effective at pouring out my heart if I really think about it enough to write it down. By slowing us down and prompting us to think more deeply about God, journaling, I think, also helps us feel more deeply about God. Just the act of journaling itself slows you down. If you just, you know, read through your Bible real quick, you can read it real quick and close it and then go about your day. You can even go through your prayer time that way if you have a list or whatever you do for your prayer time. You can accomplish it, get it done, and then forget. But the process of journaling for me slows me down. The daily Bible reading I could probably accomplish in about 15 minutes. Not even speed reading, just reading it in normal speed, I could probably finish in 15 minutes. But by journaling about what I'm reading, it forces me to at least take double that, maybe 30 minutes. Because I'm writing, it's slowing me down. And during that time, my mind is focusing more on what I've read. So it helps me to express my thoughts and my feelings to the Lord. Number four is that it helps in remembering the Lord's works. Is anybody here like me and remembering challenged? That's not a word, I know, but we need help to remember the things that God has done in our lives. Psalm 77, 11 and 12, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old, he says. I will ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. If there's anything that can help you to remember what the Lord has done in the world or in your life or in the life of a friend or family member, wouldn't you want to do that? Wouldn't you want to take whatever steps are necessary so that you can remember what God has done? And I believe, I'm very convinced that writing down what God has done at the time that you're experiencing it, at the time that you're thinking about it, will help you to remember it later. How many times I've been able to go back through and read things that I've written down and realize, wow, I almost forgot about that. That's right. God did that. And I even have the date written down when he did that. And there's great value in remembering what God has done for you, because when you remember what he's done in the past, it gives you a confidence about what is going to come in the future. When you're in the midst of a great trial and you wonder how you're going to make it through and you look back and you remember the things that he's done before, you know that you can make it through this one, because if he's done it before, he can do it again. There's got to be a reason why time and time again God told the people of Israel to build some sort of an altar to remember his work. One of the greatest benefits of keeping a record of the works of the Lord is the encouragement that it brings to our faith and the help that it brings to our prayer life. Charles Spurgeon is referred to as the lion-hearted British Baptist preacher. I'd like to be known as the lion-hearted someday. I'm not quite there yet. The lion-hearted preacher, but he was preaching in the last half of the 1800s, and he said this, "I have sometimes said, when I have become the prey of doubting thoughts, well, now I dare not doubt whether there be a God. For I can look back in my diary and say, on such a day, in the depths of trouble, I bent my knee to God. And or ever I had risen from my knees, the answer was given me." You see, what he's saying is, when he goes through periods where his faith is wavering, he can look back on what he's written down before and say, God answered my prayer then. He'll do it now. Number five, journaling is help in creating and preserving a spiritual heritage. If you get my email during the week, this is the one I asked you to kind of chew on over the last few days. Psalm 102, verse 18 says, "Let this be recorded for a generation to come, so that a people yet to be created may praise the Lord." Let this be recorded, he says, for a generation to come. The psalmist is encouraging that the thoughts of God, the laws of God, the works of God, the things that he has accomplished would be written down so that those following behind can experience those same blessings. And because of that type of a thing, we can read the journals. For example, I think Psalms is kind of like a journal from David, where he's writing down his thoughts and his feelings and his experiences with the Lord. But even others through history, we can read the journals of the great missionary who gave his life, Jim Elliot. We can read the journals of a great man of faith named David Brainerd. We can read through Charles Spurgeon's writings where he wrote in his diary. And because of those things, we're able to have our own faith strengthened. We're able to have a godly example set for us, the generation that is to come behind. As I write things down, sometimes the thought comes to me, maybe someday my kids are going to get a hold of this and they're going to see what God was doing in my life as I write it down. Now I can tell them about God. I can talk to them about God. But years from now, maybe they'll have something to hold on to that will remind them of my thoughts and my experiences with the Lord, my meditations on Scripture. Maybe even later grandchildren, maybe even great-grandchildren will get a hold of the things that we've written down and see a testimony of faith in their family. A spiritual heritage. I take that responsibility very seriously, that I would leave behind for the generation behind me, not only my children, but even those that will come after. I'll leave behind a testimony of God's work and God's faithfulness and His incredible grace in our lives. Let this be recorded for a generation to come. If for no other reason, if you think, oh, I don't really want a journal, I don't really think it'll benefit me that much. If for no other reason, try journaling for the benefit of others that might read it later. Number 6, help in clarifying and articulating insights and impressions. 1 Peter 3:15 says, in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. Always being prepared to make a defense. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. As I write things down, as I journal the things that come to my mind as I'm reading Scripture or as I'm in prayer, it helps me. It prepares me. If someone wants to ask me later, I'm able to say, yeah, I wrote that down. Let me go back and look. It helps me have a place to record things that God has spoken to me, things that I've learned, things that I've gleaned from Scripture or from my encounters with people or from my time of prayer. Number 7, journaling gives help in monitoring our goals and priorities. Our goals and priorities. As we're getting towards the end of the year, I want to encourage you to be thinking about your goals for the coming year. Not referring to the typical New Year's resolutions that you write on December 31st and break on January 1st, but actual goals that you want to pursue in your growth as a Christian or just your growth as a person, goals that you want to set for your family. Things that you would like to see accomplished in your life in the coming year. Things that are actually achievable but would stretch you. We should be writing down goals and we should be evaluating our priorities. Philippians 3:12 through 16 is one of those passages where we see Paul's heart for always pushing forward, always wanting to grow. He says, not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on. I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Only let us hold true to what we have attained. Writing down in your journal helps you stay focused on your priorities, on your desire to press forward. One of the great evangelists during what's referred to as the Great Awakening in the 1700s was George Whitefield. He's remembered for his passionate preaching, but he also has had a published book, and the title of the book was simply Diary. Clever title, but it was his diary. And he wrote down 15 things that he used every night before he went to bed to examine how he had used his day. And he wrote this down in his journal or his diary. This is a list of criteria he used as a basis for his self-evaluation or self-examination. And I'm going to read these. You won't be able to write them because I'm going to read them too fast. But just get the gist of this great man of God and what he examined in his life through his journal every night. Have I, number one, been fervent in prayer? Two, used stated hours of prayer. That is, he set particular time aside. Three, used spontaneous prayer each hour. Four, after or before every deliberate conversation or action, considered how it might tend to God's glory. Number five, after any pleasure, immediately given thanks. Six, planned business for the day. Seven, been simple and recollected in everything. Eight, been zealous in undertaking and active in doing what good I could. Nine, been meek, cheerful, affable in everything I said or did. I don't know about you, but this would be hard to evaluate my day like this. Number 10, been proud, vain, unchaste, or enviable of others. Or that should say probably envious of others. Number 11, recollected in eating and drinking. Thankful, temperate in sleep. Number 12, have I taken time for giving thanks according to William Law's rules? Number 13, have I been diligent in studies? 14, thought or spoken unkindly of anyone? And number 15, confessed all sins. The reason I read all that is just to make the point that here was a man who examined himself daily, and he wrote those things in his journal as a way to pursue excellence in his Christian life. And he was used by God in a mighty way. And sometimes I think about these great heroes of faith and I'll hear people say, well, I could never be like that. How were men like George Whitefield, Charles Spurgeon, Jonathan Edwards, how did they become so unusual compared to the rest of their culture? How did they become more and more conformed to the image of Christ than it seems like those around them were? Part of their secret was the spiritual discipline of journaling, of writing things down, of spending time with God and examining and evaluating and writing down what God was saying to them, using it as a way to keep themselves accountable to their priorities in life. Before we give all the reasons why we cannot be that kind of a Christian or why we could never be that kind of a disciple, let us try doing what they did first and just see if there might be some change in our own life. And then number eight, journaling is a great help in maintaining the other spiritual disciplines. Journaling is a great help in maintaining the other spiritual disciplines. Whatever discipline that you want to be working on, pursuing in your life, writing down a prompter in your journal, something that you'll see on a daily basis that will remind you of what it is that you want to be doing as you desire to train yourself for the purpose of godliness. For example, Psalm 119, verse 11 is our verse to remind us that we want to memorize his words. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. When I return to the habit of not memorizing scripture, which is very easy to do, momentum keeps me there. But when I have something written in my journal that's a daily reminder that I want to discipline myself for the purpose of godliness, and part of that is to memorize his word, the momentum can swing back in my favor. Writing down in a journal my goals for my spiritual disciplines will help me. Another way that it helps me in the other spiritual disciplines is one of the key spiritual disciplines, of course, is prayer. And there are times where maybe I'm struggling with my prayer life. Maybe my thoughts are bouncing all over the room. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. It's hard to stay focused in prayer at times. And I had a friend tell me one time, well, I can't really pray very long before my thoughts are just bouncing all over the place. So I write down my prayers and it helps me to keep focused. And it might take a little bit longer to have your prayer time if you write it down, but it might be more effective. It might be more meaningful. It might be something that helps you to grow in your prayer life. So if journaling will help you in all of those ways, wouldn't it be valuable to pursue it, to make the effort? Maybe you already journal a little bit. Why not stretch yourself to do a little bit better? Whether it's being more consistent with it, writing a little bit more than you already do. If you never journal, never write anything down, why not try it? Let's talk about ways of journaling. The ways of journaling. The question we would ask maybe is, how is it done? How do I journal? And I like the answer from a writer named Ronald Klug. He says, your way of keeping a journal is the right way. In other words, there are no rules for keeping a journal. There are no commandments, thou shalt do a journal this way. Whatever will help you to be consistent and to actually do it. I was reading this book by Donald Whitney on the spiritual disciplines, where I've gotten a lot of great insights on all of these various disciplines. And he says he likes to type his journal entries. He does his journaling in his office, and he has little 8.5 or half sheets of paper, and he likes to type them. I think he wrote the book back when we still used typewriters. Maybe now he's advanced to the iPad or something, I don't know. Whether it's doing it with your thumbs in your phone, or doing it on your iPad or on your laptop, or doing it the old-fashioned way, writing down on paper, whatever works for you, whatever will help you to actually do it. And maybe it's a combination of a variety of ways. Maybe some days it will be typing. A lot of people nowadays can type faster than they can write because we're more practiced at that. Whatever it takes is what I'm saying. Whatever works for you, whatever you will actually do. That's the best way to do it. Let me just give one idea. There are a lot of different ideas as I've read about journaling. There's 1,000 different suggestions. Let me just give one. As a starter for each day, try writing down one verse or one idea from your Bible reading that impacted you. And use that kind of as a springboard, perhaps. Meditate on that one verse or that one passage. Think on it for a few moments. And then maybe write down a few thoughts, impressions, ways that you want to apply it to your life, whatever it might be, ways that it encourages you, ways that it challenges you. If you've never journaled before or you don't do it regularly, this doesn't have to be something where you spend an hour writing 7 pages. I've started this week trying to journal a little bit more. As I told you, what I usually write in my journal are just verses that I've read during the daily reading that impact me. But oftentimes I haven't, in recent years, written a lot of other stuff, just my own insights. So this week I've started trying to just write a few sentences, just responses to those verses that I wrote down. And in fact, prayers that spring from those verses that I've read. Maybe it's for you, it's starting with writing 5 or 6 sentences on a page. Maybe for you, if you're a person of many words, maybe it is writing an entire page or two. Whatever works for you. But write down that verse or that passage of Scripture. Write down a prayer that relates to that verse. And then maybe move on from there to things that are going on in your life. Something, a recent event, or somebody in your life that you're concerned about, or some great event that you are excited about, whatever it might be. Maybe you are reading a book and there was a great quotation in there that you want to write down. There are no rules. But I would encourage you to challenge yourself, to push yourself, to discipline yourself, to start writing down the things that God is saying to you through His Word and in your life. So, for application, as with all the disciplines, journaling can be fruitful at any level of involvement with it. What I mean by that is whether you are just beginning in the process of trying to write a few thoughts down, or whether you're someone that writes page upon page, whatever level of involvement, there will be fruit that will be born in your life if you try it. B, as with all the disciplines, journaling requires persistence through the dry times. Let me tell you, there have been so many times where it's just easier to open my Bible and read my Bible and close it and to not take the time to write in my journal. There will be times where I'm feeling spiritually not up to it, or I'm emotionally not up to it, or I'm tired, or I'm busy. It's going to take persistence, just like everything. Persistence. And in fact, the last message in this whole series will be about how to persevere in all of these disciplines. But every discipline takes persistence. Keep with it. Stick with it. If you fall off the bike, get back on and start riding again. And then see, as with all the disciplines, you must start journaling before you can experience its value. That's kind of a duh statement. But if you don't start, if you walk out of here and say, well, that was a neat message, but I'm not going to do it, well, then you won't experience the value that comes from journaling. I've told you before about sometimes just the encouragement I find from reading about the great men of God, men and women of God from years past. And just about every person in Christian history that has had a big impact on others, there's some example of them writing down their thoughts, journaling in some way, writing in a diary, writing down prayer requests. And we have those things recorded, and it gives us who follow behind them encouragement. And it also gives us an example that if we would follow in their footsteps, we need to be writing these things down as well. So consider journaling, not only for the purpose of godliness, but also as a way to raise up a monument of God's faithfulness in your life, to remind yourself of how great He has been for you and all that He has done for you, and to remind others, if they ever read it later, of what a great and awesome God you serve. So I would challenge you this week to pursue godliness through the avenue of journaling and writing these things down. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much for the privilege of being your children and knowing that we don't have to do any of these things to get on your good side, that we don't have to perform in any way to make you love us more or to impress you. But Lord, you've given us many of these means, these spiritual disciplines, as a way to draw closer to you, as a way to grow in godliness, as a way to allow you to shape us and transform us that we might become more and more like our Lord Jesus. And Lord, we do desire to grow. We desire to press forward. We desire to become more than we are right now in our walk with you. And Lord, if journaling would be something that would help us, I pray that you'll give us the strength, that you'll give us the encouragement, the motivation to be disciplined enough to write down the things that we might remember all that you have said to us, all that you have done for us, and that people following behind will have a treasury as well of the thoughts and the insights and the acts of God in our life. Lord, we thank you that you wrote down for us your thoughts. You've given us the greatest book in all of history, a book that is unique because it is the very words of God. We know that you chose, for whatever reason, to write these things down so that we could have them as a spiritual heritage. We could have them as something to read and to study and to look back on. And Lord, I pray that we would become more and more like you. As we study your word, as we pray, as we fast, as we share our faith, as we worship, as we pursue silence and solitude, and as we journal, may we become more and more conformed to the image of your dear Son. We thank you, Father, in Christ's great name. Amen.